scars have been a pride.
Got the music up and bumping when we always up to something. Oh yeah, we up to something.
Welcome back to a brand new episode of the Source City Podcast. While I figure out what number episode we on, 60. We are at episode 60. My man comes through in the clutch, as always, and we are here in a beautiful... We're here in a beautiful arrangement, beautiful, awesome, little atmospheric thing. Thank you, of course, to the man... The legend right here sitting across from us today. Really happy to be here with a big influential man in the post-2000 decade of pro wrestling. Changed the way that we see pro wrestling on a weekly basis all around, not just many wrestling independent promotions, but around the world, globally, TV, nationwide, international. It's crazy. This man's impact and influence is still being heard to this day, to this very day. My man Christian right here, someone I very much look up to, a lot of studying I've done with you, one of your best friends, one of my, I would say, late mentors in pro wrestling game, Adam Copeland, yeah. Edge, man. So thank you for being here.
Yeah, man, thanks. That's a hell of an intro. I'm getting
better.
Yeah, better. I'll just listen to you guys sing my praises and talk about my accolades all day. I'll just sit here and the whole podcast would be great.
That's what we do. That's why we have a team the way we do. We boost each other. It keeps us going.
Lift each other up.
Exactly, man. Yeah. We can get into a lot of things, but my man TZ over here, do you have much to promote? You just dropped a hot fire new single that's being played all over the place, and you are top 100. I'll let you go.
Yes, make sure, before anything, make sure you guys go to youtube.com/SourceCityPodcast to like, subscribe, the metrics, there's a key word called algorithm now that everybody needs to stick with. So make sure you like, comment, subscribe to the channel. We have the legend here once again, Christian. I recently dropped my new record for Sammy Guevara called Energy. He debuted it, Double or Nothing, the last pay-per-view, where he made a wonderful announcement of him and Tay having a wonderful baby that is coming.
He a pappy.
So now he's a father, and I'm a father of many children, so I know how that feels. Hopefully you keep it there, Sam, if you can. But anyway, make sure you guys go to all Spotify, all platforms. Make sure you get the record. Energy just debuted at a top 100 actually on hip-hop in the United Kingdom. Peaked at 92, so it's still growing. Make sure you guys all over the world. My following overseas is really crazy. It's weird. Over here in America, I'd be like, is everybody listening to this? Mm-hmm. And then overseas, it'd be crazy. So make sure you guys, show love to the record. Thank you, Sammy, for coming back to me again for another song. I thoroughly appreciate it as we hear Broken Ice going on. make sure you guys, subscribe and check out the music video. Thank you to Sammy, Tay, for all support and love for the project. My brother recently dropped his project, You Couldn't Be Me, on all streaming platforms. Make sure you stream that. Shout out to Benny and Butcher, Prophet the Producer, everybody who supported my bro. Shout out to Ryan Eni Beats, who made the Sammy Guevara record. Make sure you guys show love to that. And, we are here.
Off and running. Before we get started, man, rest in peace. The legend, Iron Sheik. He just passed away this past week, man. Crazy. Another huge influential. Yeah. Just... icon in the business of professional wrestling, from one of the greatest villains the industry's ever seen, probably one of the most crossover cultural impactful characters on screen you've ever seen. Without him and the Hogan of rivalries and stuff, you wouldn't see a lot of what we get to see and enjoy and watch today, all over the world. So rest in peace, Iron Sheik, man. And great.
Absolutely,
man. Spending money.
Thank you, legend, for all you contributed to the business, bro.
Yes, sir.
So, him and his family, rest in peace.
Absolutely, man. So this is going to be a very villain-heavy episode, since we're talking about villains, Iron Sheik and stuff like that. Would you say there's been a lot of, influence, a lot of, from what he's done early on, being, one of the big, the base foundations of being great villains on screen?
I think the most important aspect of being a true villain is having no redeeming qualities.
Right.
And you got to throw those out the window. And, you learn those from classic heels, villains, like a guy like the Iron Sheik, you know, and, you know, he would do the huck poo and the whole, you know, the whole thing. He was ahead of his time almost with some of his mannerisms and his delivery and the way that he his persona. Yeah, he was a true villain and a trailblazer in that respect, as far as getting like legit real, you know, heat, like money drawing heat where people hate you so much they will pay to see you lose. So he was top notch in that respect.
Especially being on the time.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was like, it was so reflective of what was going on at the time in reality with like wars and Iran and all these things, which was like very risky as well.
Yeah.
Would you say? Like, reflecting, like, it's reflecting reality.
Yeah, it was mirroring what was happening in socially, right? Like,
right.
Yeah. So, for sure. And I think pro wrestling has always been very much had that finger on the pulse of things that are going on in society and using those as storylines to stay, you know, current with what's happening in the world.
Do you think, like, with how you portray yourself as a villain, do you think, I wouldn't say you're more so like a, you reflect socially issues, but you reflect like reality in a sense, and you warp it in a sense to your benefit.
Yep. And I think that you have to, I think as a heel, when you're delivering your message, you have to have a nugget of truth in your message.
Yeah.
And you embellish it. And as long as you're delivering it and you believe what you're saying and like you believe it with every ounce of your being, for you, it's true and you're right and you're justified in your reasoning, even though it's probably wrong if you're a heel, right? So that's how I look at it. When it comes to my character, especially these days, you know, the turtleneck guy, zero redeeming qualities, but you know, he go out and say and do things that Jay Riso would never go say and do.
Right.
You know what I mean? So in that respect, you have to have full commitment to it for it to really work. You have to be okay with being hated for it to really work. You can't be like on the fence, be like, oh, those few people were booing me that kind of bothered me. No, you have to be all in. You have to make sure everybody hates you.
And the fact that like you kind of got to be anticipate, do you feel like you anticipate the backlash for it, or do you kind of like, are you worried about it? Do you face it? Or do you kind of just like throw all of it away? Like, yeah, there's going to be backlash and I'm ready to deal with it.
Yeah.
I'm ready to deal with the consequences.
Well, I mean, I mean, I go out there to get heat, right? And that's my job, to go out there and to get heat. So, but I feel like, you know, I don't know. I think also with, you can get that kind of heat even with just your mannerisms, with pauses and with the way
timing,
the way you stop. And if you just even give a glance to the audience in a certain way, or if they're trying to get under your skin where they're reacting and you just keep talking through their noise, a lot of times that elevates the heat. You know what I mean? If you just keep talking, like, you're not even acknowledging the fact that they're booing you this loud. And now they will even try to get louder and louder to try to drown you out. So, actually something, it just happened to me recently in Detroit a few weeks ago. It was very much that way. So, but that's how I approach being a heel. Zero redeeming qualities. And, you know, you just kind of got to go out there and understand that you got to be okay with being hated, you know?
Absolutely. So with that, like during your time when you first started in the game to now, you know, what are some of the things that you've learned even from when your younger days, when you first started coming in the game to now, what are some of the tricks of the trade that you learned, either being a heel or in the game, period, that from your younger time that it took you some time to learn, but that you think you've mastered now?
Yeah, well, for me, I've always been a stickler for details. I'm a small details guy.
Absolutely.
In my matches. And there are ones that aren't maybe so obvious, but they mean a lot as far as the quality of the match. And like I said, you might not be able to pick up on them, but you take them out and they're obvious.
You absolutely.
You know what I mean? So like little things like getting mileage out of certain things. And I'm a big proponent of selling. And I think selling is a lost art. And I think that people mistake registering for selling, and they're two completely different things. And I think that a lot of guys and girls today make things harder on themselves than it has to be by not selling and getting more mileage out of these impressive, amazing things that they're doing. Mm. So I think that's one of the biggest things was getting mileage and being able to, get more out of building up to a big move rather than just doing a big move to garner a reaction. Like that's, if you're relying on just doing big spots and big moves to get reactions, then you're looking at it the wrong way, in my opinion. I think the audience should connect to you as a character, and that way you'll get the reactions, and you don't have to rely on, you can build, like for instance, like if I have to do a Huracan off the top rope to the floor on somebody to get a reaction, and I'm having to do that every single week, it becomes like an arm drag. It becomes a very basic thing. Like, I've seen it. I'm desensitized to it. Whereas
the danger effect of it is gone. Danger is going down.
Right. Yeah. But also the danger to you is not. But you know what I mean? So it's getting more mileage out of your own body and also, you know, building up to those big things where now when people see them, like, oh, my God, that was, I haven't seen anything like that in a minute. You know what I mean? Where it's like now if you're seeing it on a weekly basis, it becomes more of like a basic move, like an arm drag or absolutely. Something. It takes away how big and impressive the move actually is, in my opinion. And I've said this before, and I stand by it. I think that performers get jaded when they hear holy shit or this is awesome chants.
Yeah,
because I think the audience is programmed in a sense when they see something big or a sort of like a car crash spot or something like that. They're okay. This is my part to play now. This is where I chant holy shit or this is awesome, and when you're a performer in the ring and you hear the crowd, oh, holy shit, this is awesome. They're making noise, but they're jaded in the sense of like, oh, I'm over now because they're making noise. Mm-hmm. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're over. It means the audience knows this is their part to play when they see a big spot or a big move. Are they saying your name? Are they chanting for you specifically?
Yeah.
Are they saying,
they care about this person?
Yeah, you suck or that's, you right. know what I mean? Like they like that to me is a sign of, having a connection with the audience, that they're actually chanting your name in a negative or a positive way.
Exactly.
So, you know, like I said, I feel like some of the art is, and it's just the world we live in, you know, it's everything is consumed faster now than it ever has been, right? Absolutely. So everybody's on to the next thing as soon as this thing happens. So it's just, you know, it's almost like just slow down and enjoy the ride a little bit.
It's a little bit of that, but it's also like people are ready for the next thing. Before this season even happened.
Right, yeah.
Like, they're ready, anticipating or trying to guess or, you know, like, make their assumption. Because I feel like everybody wants to be right and proven right.
Right, yep.
You know, about something.
Yep.
So they want to, like, predict it before we haven't even established this yet.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think, too, like, I guess, like, these clips on, like, social media and stuff are just as important as seeing full matches, right? If somebody can put a spot or a move or something.
Like a two-minute sequence. Yeah. Like, let's book this guy. Like,
so, yeah, that's, I think that, maybe they look at it that way too. And it's different from when I was breaking in, because I was sending a VHS tape that I had, I had made like a highlight tape myself with two VCRs where I put them together and I was trying to splice it together like that. It was.
So when you're coming in, speaking of that, so when you're coming into the business and you and Edge, Adam, respectively, are coming in, you guys are young, you guys are seeing, you know, this is your dream, this is what both of you guys want to do. What was your guys' goal together as you guys got up to the next level to say, hey, how can we make an impact? How can we be different from what everybody's doing? Obviously, it's changed now, obviously, but the wrestling business has changed. But what was your vision? What was your guys' goal as you guys first started coming in?
So I think we realized pretty quickly, especially with WWE when we first got there, that getting there and staying there were two completely different things.
Absolutely.
That, you know, if you weren't going to, you know, contribute in a meaningful way, that you probably weren't going to be there for very long. So, you know, we looked at the landscape and we walked in and there wasn't a lot of room at the top of the card. You know, when you have guys like Steve Austin, The Rock, The Undertaker, Triple H, Mick Foley, it's pretty stacked at the top of the card, you know? So it's like...
With the Kurt Angle on his way, Jericho
is a lot. So we're like, we were like, okay, we know we're not getting near the top of the card anytime soon. What can we do to stand out time? And we ended up being paired with the Hardys for a couple matches on, like, it was like whatever the weekend show was, might have been like Heat or something, but it was like just a couple throwaway matches. We just had this crazy chemistry with them, and then they just kept putting in these matches and booking us on live events and house shows, and we were getting these reports that our matches were off the charts. Like I said, we were young and hungry and we just wanted to go out there and steal the show. That was our mentality, you know. and we just wanted to make our mark. And we came up with the idea. We, you know, from talking with those guys, we had all realized we were all fans of the Shawn Michaels Razor Ramon ladder matches, and like what a impression those had had on us as far as, you know, getting into the business and you know, as fans and things like that. So we were like, started toying with the concept of maybe can we do this in a tag team setting, and almost like, you know, this was like the first thing we ever really pitched as an idea. And we came up with the concept of the best of seven, because we were basically wrestling every week against these guys on TV anyway. So it's like, let's do this best of seven series. We'll do a different stipulation for every match. It'll end up going to the seventh match, and we'll do a ladder match for that final match, which would be at the pay-per-view, No Mercy pay-per-view. And we got everything cleared, except they just said, we need something for this match. Like, it has to be for something. And neither one of us were even sniffing the championship at that point in time. So they came up with the concept of the Terry Invitational Tournament. Mm-hmm. And also, I think it was $150,000 prize plus Terry Runnels managerial services. Yep. That was the, so there was like a sack, there was like a bag of money that was the symbol of what was hanging above. And we just knew that was like, that was our moment. You know, we're like, we've got this match. Our first idea that we've pitched got pushed through, and we have a chance to do something special here with this match. And we just didn't realize how special it was going to be. You know, we had lightning in a bottle that night, and it just changed the course of all of our careers in that 15, 16 minutes, whatever it was.
Absolutely.
And that was at a time when Edge and I were coming down through the crowd, through our entrance, and they would take us up the match before, and they would hide us somewhere. Somewhere we were hiding in the back of, like, this concession stand. So, like, sitting there with all this popcorn and all this stuff. And I just remember, I remember the smells of the concession. I remember hearing the roar from the crowd and being nervous and just trying not to get too in my head about the match. And then next thing you know, it was there. And we're walking out of this concession stand out into, you know, 15, 18,000 people. And our lives were about to change. So that was our goal, was to just put on quality matches and make our mark. And I think, to one of our goals was, like I said, with the star power, was how do we make sure that we're such an important part of the show that we have to be on it every week, mm-hmm. in an important way. And also, you know, the pay-per-views. How do we get on those pay-per-views every month that the pay-per-views will, sure, they'll still be great if we're not on them, but they're a lot better when we are on them.
We need these guys.
Yeah, here. So that's kind of what we wanted to build ourselves to, and we got ourselves to that.
Especially since it was a different time of, like, right. It wasn't like a premium live event, or like a media, like, you know, it wasn't on a streaming service. Like,
nope.
These are bought pay-per-views.
Yes.
These can literally, these buys can literally affect and change your life, your right. living situation,
yeah.
and, you know, catapult you into a whole different way.
Yep.
So just, that's the kind, I think that's the different kind of hunger that you guys had too.
Yeah. Yep, and then, and you know, we were, you know, and then we got on these, you know, we ended up getting the first, it was the triangle ladder match, and then that kind of morphed into the TLC matches. And, you know, if looking back now, it's humbling in a sense. You know, you look at it and it's like matches that were just an idea in our brain that we pitched, and they're now both marquee pay-per-views. You know, there's TLC pay-per-view, there's a Money in the Bank pay-per-view. Yeah. So it's like
the impact that you had. Yeah, like, just that I think that style has like truly created other wrestling promotions just off of those styles of matches, like those, you know, those stipulations.
Yeah, I mean, we walked a fine line with that too, because we also were like we don't want to be just the ladder match guys,
right?
Where it's like, okay, if we don't see falling off ladders or hitting each other with ladders, we're not interested. You know, we had to figure out that fine line of, you know, when you're in a regular match, how do you keep people's attention when you're not falling off a ladder? So that was also a challenge with that, you know, we have to be aware that it could be it could go in that direction if you're not putting out quality matches in other settings as well, you know? So
looking back at that time now, especially as, you know, some time has passed, you're a veteran now, you know what I mean? And looking back at the perspective, do you feel like at that time it was kind of like you said about Stone Cold and The Rock being on the card, things like that? Do you feel like it was, looking back at it, it's kind of like I had to do what I had to do type moment, or looking back at it, would you have changed anything now looking back at what you've done?
No, I think everybody's journey is different, and I think that this was mine, and I wouldn't change a thing about it. And I think that you grow as a person when, you know, from highs and lows in your life. So like I said, this is my journey, and I'm completely happy with how it went. And, you know, I feel very fortunate, and like, I put in a lot of work. Don't get me wrong. Like I missed a lot of things in life, and worked very hard to put a lot of time in to have the career that I did. But, I do feel fortunate also for the opportunities that were presented to me. But if you didn't seize those opportunities, they go away pretty quickly.
Exactly.
So,
I feel like you're one of like the pioneers of just pushing the boundaries on things. Like with the ladder matches, TLC, do you think you pushed it too far, too quick?
We talk about that a lot, especially after like Edge had his neck issues and things like that. And I think if you look at the very first one, was more of a car crash where it was just kind of big things happening. And then I think
it was a little Michael Bay-ish.
Yeah. But I think as you started to see the progression of them, you started to see us figure out how to tell stories.
Yeah.
In there as well. And get more, like I was talking about before, more mileage out of these big things we're doing, where, you know, you do something big, but then you let it settle, let the people react, and then you build up to something else. It wasn't just car crash, car crash, car crash. And it's like, you know, when I watch these types of matches, it always baffles me when, you know, the goal is to climb the ladder and yep. get that prize at the top. Where when I watch some of these matches and everybody's on the floor and there's one person in the ring with a ladder and they set the ladder up and they jump on everybody on the floor, it's like,
let's create the stunt.
Everybody's on the floor. This is up here. That's what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
So it's
I kind of compared to like action movies, like, you know, like we got to get to the top of this building.
Yeah.
Like that's the goal here.
Yeah.
Why are we still fighting and shooting at the level of the lobby?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, but yeah.
So that was the challenge. Was trying to figure out like how to make sense out of something that was a little senseless. So it's
which is so hard. Once again, we run that fine line and we're in a senseless business.
Yeah, we had the ladder match last year, you know. Yes. And that's actually the first time you and I had been together in a work setting.
Yes.
But I was really impressed with you too, like you're a details guy too, and I picked that up you. Where I think I even mentioned it to you afterwards. Like, no, I like where your head was at with some of these, because a lot of these, the things we were talking about in there wasn't even just the moves. You were throwing in details in between. I was like, this is a details guy like me. I appreciate
studied you
that,
guys,
yeah.
man. Yeah, I read your books. So
yeah.
A lot of times, too, it's always like you notice that the difference between a lot of people, I think, to make it to the next level in anything, a lot of times, is the details. And I think with certain people in, when it comes to success or things that maybe it might not keep them at a certain point, is that they start losing the sense of what makes sense. A little details. Okay, how does this look? Does this make sense? Would I actually do this in real life? Or does this actually make sense for me to do this? And you guys, both you guys, have always been great at those kind of things.
I try to think about the things that other people aren't thinking about.
Yeah.
That go into a match.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm not the most athletic guy in the world. Like, never have been, never will. But, you know, I think that I rely more on my storytelling, my psychology, how I build to certain things, and I get, you know, I try to get more mileage out of stuff.
For me, I'm a big study person. Like especially with there's impactful figures that I've seen on TV or in a movie, or who's just like, I read a book. Like, what's making me want to go out of my way to find out more about them?
Yeah.
Like, what are those little things? It's like, why is this guy so impactful on me?
Yeah.
Like, why can nobody forget about this guy? Everybody discusses this thing, this moment, this, like, those important scenes, and just deep diving and figuring out those things and find ways to pull them, and can I pull it and then like fuse it with me in some way? Yeah. Like, why do I wear this jacket this way? Why do I put on my mask this way?
Yeah.
Like, this tattoo is in this position. Why is it there? Why is it this, like, those little details is kind of like they add up.
Yep.
The more you add those little details, the more these people want to try to be like you or find out more about why they care so much about that.
And when you do, like, it never shuts off. Like, you, it's in your head, like, all day long.
It drives
all
you night crazy.
Long. And it's like, there was times where, like, I'd be asleep on the road or at home or whatever, and I'd wake up in the night with, like, this, I mean, this is the best idea ever for a match or a spot or an angle or storyline, something. And I'd be like, I'll remember this in the morning, and I wake up and I wouldn't remember it.
It's gone.
And I'd be like, man. So I started going to bed with a pad and paper, pen and paper beside it. So if I woke up with an idea, I would jot the idea down. But sometimes too, I'd wake up and I'd like chicken scratch it, and I'd be like short form it. I'd be like, I had no idea what I was talking about.
Soup with the candle.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Oh, so, we were just having a discussion. Yeah. We had a lunch meeting yesterday, and we were just like talking about like we are like us creators and like want to do so many different things at one time. We always have to have all of our senses like kind of tapped on. Like me and him are very similar, where the TV's on, I'm playing a video game, but I have a podcast going on my phone at the same time, and then still scrolling through Twitter on this. I'm like, I'm operating on four different devices at the same time, but something's going to trigger me on one of these things.
Yeah.
And I don't know why we, like, some people just can't focus on multiple different things.
Yeah.
Like, but we're hyper alert all the time.
Yeah. Because that's how all creatives are, bro. Yeah. I believe, like, natural creators, the way that we are, we're not, our sensories are moving in different ways. I'm pretty sure you guys could be in the back, you know, talking about what, you know, something, doing an interview, you're putting your match together, you got your phone, your family texting you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You got to speak to the boss about something, but all this is in your head. But somehow your sensories trigger and you can remember all this at one time. I believe normal people, they don't understand it until they're in this kind of situation that, you know, you, It's like muscle repetition. Essentially, after a while, you start being able to do all this. It's like when I do my concerts or my shows, I could be having this going on. Oh, I need to remember this song. I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to talk to the DJ about playing this. And this. But by the time that
engaging with the fan base,
making sure my homie got the camera right.
You know what though? If it's not that way, you can't function. Right,
like some.
You need that. Right. You need that craziness, because it's how we do it. You know, and it's like, and there's also, and too, like with our travel schedules.
Yeah,
you know, not so much as it used to be, but like, you know, when you're home for only a certain amount of time, you got a short window to now you're moving, trying to get all these things done that you don't get to do.
Yeah,
you're missing out on these things when you're on the road or whatever. Like when really all you want to do is sit down on the couch and watch TV for a couple hours, but you know it's not really going to happen because you got this short time at home. So.
Yep.
You know, you find yourself running around multitasking, doing all these different things, and that's just the life.
And then that's it doesn't get any easier as you get more successful.
Right, yeah.
People don't understand that either.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to see you grind and make it to the top. And I'm like, are you sure you want to see that?
Yeah.
Are you sure you're ready for that?
Yeah.
Because it's already hard now. We're already having arguments.
Yeah. And then like, when you throw kids in the mix, it even take, you know, another level. That's another level.
I want to bring something up here because we were just talking about us. Especially how we think, right? I want to give you your flowers for one thing, because it is very rare to see you and your respective brother Edge, you guys come up as kids, be successful, you guys together or even do separate things and have separate careers, and still be brothers to this day from growing up as kids. You guys are very rare in that sense. Can you please tell us about how have you guys been able to maintain this brotherhood? Because you know how this goes. A lot of times people do certain things, and then brothers end up jealous of each other, or one person doing this and that. You know, how do you guys
and all this?
How do you guys keep that?
The reality is I can't shake the guy. Like he just, you know, I've tried. Believe me, I tried. But he keeps coming back.
Y'all still end up going to hockey games, watching the games together.
Yeah. No, it's one of those things. We hit it off. Like, I moved to a new town in sixth grade, and I was really shy kid, and like I was afraid, like I was scared to, I wouldn't get out of the car to go into the school. So the teacher went and got a couple of the students, and Adam was one of the students that came out and talked to me and like made me feel better about it. So I went in the school, and he was one of the guys I was talking to right away. And then you know, we realized we both really liked wrestling, and that was kind of like our initial bond was wrestling. And I also had this ninja throwing star. We've told this story tons of times too, where, you know, I was like, you know, I'd throw it at trees or whatever during recess. And, you know, I was like, oh, I'm thinking about selling it. So I had this like this bidding going on for this ninja throwing star. And I think that's another, he was one of the highest bidders, but I pulled it off the table. Didn't up selling it, but yeah. It was so making we're
going
me too
in a whole different way, like Kenny in South Park.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So you know, but we just we hit it off, and you know we wrestling bonded us, and we just Adam was a very good artist, so he'd always draw these pictures of us as tag team with like the different outfits and stuff like that, and you know we'd set up little mattresses in the side yard. I don't condone doing this, but we'd wrestle with my brother and stuff in the side yard, and just we'd sit and talk about like when we're done high school and we're gonna find a wrestling training and we're gonna place and we're gonna make this dream happen. You know, we're gonna do it, and we did. So
very rare to find someone with a crazy dream and a drive equal to yours.
Yeah.
To continue doing that.
Yeah, well, and almost like we pushed.
Everybody always falls off.
Yeah, but also like we motivated each other and pushed each other too, right? Where it's like almost like when, you know, because there's pretty lean times. Like I made $10 for my first match, you know? And, you know, there's times where it's like, man, is this worth it? You know, can I keep going? Should I give up? Whatever. And then you could have the other one there. But like, no, come on. You know, we got this. Yeah. You know, the other one there to pick you back up and to push you. And
I'm still shocked you made money on your first match, man. I didn't make money until my first, outside of my first year.
It was $10 Canadian. So,
man.
Yeah.
That could have bought me food.
So now that, you know, you guys start together and you guys have that journey. Then what happens is success comes.
Yeah.
So what keeps you guys together during this time? Because the beginning stages, everybody's on the same page when you both, a lot of times, are both hungry.
Yeah.
When you're both hungry, everybody's all in.
Yeah.
But what happens when the money comes in and you start becoming successful and you keep your egos in check and money gets involved? How do you guys keep that in line? Especially as a tag team, when you guys start getting this fame and stuff. What kept you guys together?
Yeah, well, I think... our philosophy was we always knew we were going to branch off. We didn't want to become a stale act. So we didn't want to be the guys that hung on to the team too long and be like, okay, we've seen this before. Can we just, you know, get it over with? But it's like, we want to leave it a little bit early where people were like to this day, people still talk about it, which is great because we didn't hold on to it too long. We didn't stay together longer than we needed to where people were bored of the act or it got old or whatever. And so, knowing that and always having open discussions of when that right time was going to be, you know, there was nothing to be jealous of. You know, like I said, you know, everybody has their own path, and that was his path and this is mine. And we just supported each other and helped each other. And like we cheered for each other through all of our victories, you know, and picked each other up through all of our defeats. So it's just the way that we've always been.
Do you think if there was a social media at that time, would things have been a little different?
I don't know. That's a good question, actually, because I really don't know. But
I feel like our influences, once again, as creators, we always look for the affirmation of things. And now ours is through the phone.
Yeah.
You know, at your time, it was through, like, numbers.
Yeah.
Statistics, ticket sales.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah, and it's funny. And it's funny, too, like, sometimes, like, you know, you're just scrolling through mindlessly or whatever. If you're bored or whatever, sitting on an airplane, and, like, a lot of times you'll see on there, like, you'd see, oh, we want Edge and Chris back together, and then be like, well, Edge is better than Christian, or Christian's better than Edge. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, you know, and you never, you're right. Never like read stuff like that when I was coming up earlier, and like that stuff that's now just people just putting out there, but it doesn't bother me. And I like to think it would never change our relationship. And I don't think that it would. And, we've just always had like been that way. He's been more like a family member than a friend, you know? And you know, he grew up with a single mom. And, so he was very much, at my house a lot growing up, and you know, he came on family trips with us, and he was, you know, stayed over for weekends, and had an open door at my house, was there for a lot of dinners and things like that. So with having that foundation of our friendship, almost more to the fact of being brothers than friends,
absolutely,
I think also helped, and I don't think it would have changed.
Also too, for example, me and my brother here, we do a lot of things together, a lot of group things together. And also, too, we also establish our identities by ourselves, which is also very important. But I think that even though we started from, like, business, we were tested when it comes to personal things. So when we were tested in personal things that either one of us were going through, that's the real test to know if somebody's really there for you.
Yeah.
Because it's like, hey, can I pick up the phone and talk to you about this?
Yeah.
And I know you got my back. So you guys, great that you guys had that foundation. Because when you're around somebody that much, tests is going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, and personal things, or even with each other. This is how you guys cohabitate in stressful situations, life situations.
Yeah.
And that's great that you guys had that foundation.
Yeah.
Before even all the money and success came in. Because it's very rare to see. That's why I wanted to ask you that.
Give no, I appreciate it. Yeah, that, thanks.
Yeah, even thanks. Even given time, too. Like, given time for you to be you, for Adam to be Adam.
Yeah.
You know, not necessarily relying on each other.
Absolutely.
Like, I need you. Like, hey, why aren't you here for this? Why aren't you, like, oh, you should be here for this. Like, and not, like, ridiculing the other person for not being there. Right. Not calling. Not, like.
Amen.
Speaking you like praising you, like no, you know I got you.
Yeah,
you good.
Yeah,
like, you know.
Yeah, but we're still very good at with you know with watching each other's matches and things like that too.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know whether it's even like, hey, you did this, but this could work too. Like you know, very much we're both details guys too. So we both watch each other's stuff and try to help each other with things like that as well. So and very much you know, at the end of the day, we're all still wrestling fans, right? So,
yes.
You know, it's nice to watch his stuff as a fan as well.
You got to be a fan of your own stuff, too. You got to be a fan of what you do, your own field.
Yeah.
Some guys, it gets a little tainted, so they can't even enjoy it and love it as much as they used to, what got them into it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure if, like, it's realistic to be, like, you love it as much as you, like, did as you were as a kid.
Yeah.
But you got to have some type of like passion in your heart for it. Too.
I did this interview once and this guy, he put it the best that I've ever heard to this day. And he said, hey, would you do what you do for free? Mm. And I said, yeah, I would, but don't tell anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cause I do enjoy getting paid.
Exactly. Yeah.
And he goes, so it's safe to say then you get paid for the travel and the things that you have to miss in your everyday life. That's what you're really getting paid for because you do the in-ring part for free. And I said, that's the best way I've ever heard somebody
put it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And like, there's no better feeling than going to your app, checking your bank account, and you see that plus sign with money. Dude, like, there's no better feeling than that every 2 weeks or every week. You're like, the negative sign, you kind of get a little agitated.
Or like you discussed, like, yesterday, you can lay in your bed and feel rest.
Yeah. You can rest.
You can rest, and you're not, like, stressed out.
Stressed.
Of, like,
yes.
You know this is going to be here when I wake up.
Yeah.
You know the phone's, like, the water's going to be on. The heat's on. Yeah. You know, those things, it's just like, okay, so now I can put my hard work and focus on all these other things that I do love.
It wasn't like when I got that $10 for my first match. Like, how am I going to stretch this out over 3 weeks?
This is
food or gas.
Yeah.
So technically, well, back in the day, it probably wasn't that expensive. Like a McDonald's meal might have been like that would have been one meal nowadays. But back in the day, you're like, you know what? I could stretch this about 4 or 5 days. It's $10, and I could be all right. You know. Not, but let me ask you this: now that we're time and you have time in the game. Now you're a veteran. How does it feel being in that role now where it's kind of reversed? Now people are coming to you and asking you for the advice. Now you're looking at the younger guys and telling them, hey, you know, all details or giving them advice. Or how does it feel to be like the as we call the OG, the guy now?
That's the cycle of the business, right? Like, I mean, to pass your knowledge on. And like I always say, like, I don't know everything, but I feel like I know a lot.
Amen.
And I think that there's no one perfect or right philosophy for what we do. Everybody's going to have different ideas about it, but I just lost my train of thought.
Hey,
multitask.
OGs.
It's the multitask thought you think about what you're doing next week, brother.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah. It happens to me all the time.
Yeah.
I've done a middle interview. I'm like, anyway, tease, you got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, like, as far as we were saying about, you know,
I do appreciate it. And I take a lot of pride in people coming up and asking me, for my opinion and things like that. It means a lot. It means that, you've done something right. If they're coming to you for advice, and it's not a role that I take lightly at all. And, you know, this business isn't something where you can just, anybody off the street can come in and help you. Like, it's a very niche, you know, skill set that we have, and to give back is important if you do have that that knowledge, I believe.
Amen.
I definitely feel the bar is raised but also lowered in a sense of, like, what's the qualifications of being necessarily good enough and being just good. With that being said, do you feel like your advice and the experience that you do want to weigh on, do you feel like you got to protect that in a sense as well?
No, I'm pretty open book as far as, you know, I'm.
The game is to be like sold, not told in a sense.
Like, I mean, I'll pass anything along to anybody that wants the information. Mm-hmm. And
what about the ones that necessarily need it at the time? Do you think people need it or they need it now? Or do they just like, I'm going to hold this until you see where the progression is. Then I'm going to give them that piece.
Sometimes there's a few instances, things of that. Right. They're not ready. Yeah. They're not, I have something for this person, but they're not ready for it yet.
Right.
Like
right.
They need to do this. And it's like, so you watch. Yeah, very much so. Yeah. But they're, I just lost my train of thought again.
And we get them today. But
deep questions, man. Yeah.
Because like it's definitely like I always look at it as like I got to see you come of age,
yeah,
before you're ready for these things. Like
and
like,
there's also times where I'll pull somebody unsolicited. We're just like they may not even have come to me, but I'll notice something that they've done, and I'll go over and be like, hey, like you can take this or leave it, but my opinion, like this could help you and like. And it could be nothing to do with the match either. It could be a phrase or a saying or something for a promo or a t-shirt or whatever. If I have an idea for somebody else, I will always tell them.
Right.
So that's just
how I look at it is like, as a father, you're not like, you're not ready to bestow the responsibilities of, certain chores to your daughter at this age.
Right.
Like, oh, nah, let's just focus on making your bed,
right,
putting your shoes in the closet.
She's 9 years old. I'm not going to hand her the keys to my car yet.
Right.
Like, oh, have a good time. You know, in a few years, we'll get there.
Yeah. We'll get there when like, oh, okay. When you get home from school, call the cable people and no, we're not there yet.
Yeah.
So that's how I feel like knowledge is. It should be to like, not just pro wrestling, but like a lot of people in all forms of entertainment across the field. Like certain guys, like just worry about getting good.
Yeah. And the other thing is, too, like you said something before about like the kind of, you know, if I hold back information, and I also, and I kind of took that, and I know that's not what you meant, but like, would I hold back information because I thought somebody else might pass me or something along the way? Like,
No.
And like, and I never worry about stuff like that.
Right.
It's like, if you have the talent.
About that yesterday as well, me and him.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's like, if you have the talent and I can help you with that,
boost it.
Like we're a team here. You know, we all want this show.
Exactly.
And you know, long after I'm gone, this show has to go on. Long after you're gone, this show has to go on. So we need to make sure that we're set up in the future to keep succeeding on a weekly basis. So
true.
And if you're not, if I'm not helping somebody in that sense, like from a real place, you know what I mean? If I'm not giving them like proper advice, then I'm doing the business a disservice, and I just can't do it.
You know something, that one thing too, that I know you're a details person, and I tell him, you know how I know just as a fan or as a musician that I know? All the years I've watched your career, you've never missed on your entrance music. Never missed.
Yeah.
I've listened from like when you first came, when you went to by yourself, and you've done everything you switched. It was always at the right time when you switched it.
Yeah.
And it was always great music. I said, this guy's ear is incredible.
Yeah.
So
it's true.
So I was like, I was just telling her, I was thinking, I was like, he's never missed. You've never missed. That's how I know detail, guys.
Yeah.
Because their music they pick is very important. I'll tell you,
there was one music for me that I was very unsure about.
What's that?
Ooh.
The Christian. Christian.
Oh, you was? You was unsure about
you're
that?
You're on your own. And when I first had pitched the music, they're like, it was for a different idea, right? And they're like, oh yeah, we got all the ideas, okay. So then like, we have your new music, we're gonna rehearse your new entrance. So like, I was completely thinking it was what I had pitched,
right?
And this was the other side of the spectrum. So I heard it and I was just like, you know, when you kind of have that like embarrassed feeling and like you kind of get like a little sweat and you feel like everybody's looking at you. It was so outside the box, this music. Everybody turned and looked at me, and I was like. So I'm trying to practice his entrance. I'm like, oh my God, what is with this music? It's so bad. And then I was like, and then I talked to the music producer after, and they're like, oh, he's like, I love the music. I'm going to put it on the album. And I knew like the royalties and that you get from the album. Yeah. I was like, oh, I love it. Yeah, it's great music. I did think that, but moreover, I was like, I started thinking after, I got over the initial shock of how it was so much different than what I thought it was going to be. I was like, no, it's so bad, it's good. You know what I mean? Like, it's so different. It's so out there.
Yeah.
It's good. And like, to this day, I could be walking in a mall and in the distance, I'll hear somebody go, Christian, yeah. Christian. So you know that it's like, it kind of stood the test time.
Marketing,
the test
time, man.
You know, yeah.
That's marketing.
So I embraced it after that first initial shock. And it was, you know, I had the golden shower and the whole thing.
The golden shower.
Yeah.
Oh.
So.
I missed that pyro effect. Like, yeah. You had it.
Orton had it. Yeah.
Like Kevin Nash had it in the ring. You know, I miss that, like, aesthetic look.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, this is so, like, royalty. This, yeah. Like, you know what I mean? It was so good.
Yeah.
So I would say we talked about you pushing the boundary forward in as far as, like, the extreme matches with ladders, tables, and chairs and stuff like that. But now, in this stage, once again, like, adapting from 2000, 2010, 2000, 2020, this is, like, another decade, pushing the boundary forward in promos.
Yeah.
Do you feel like, do you feel like there's endless boundary when it comes to that kind of thing? Especially in like 2023, where we're ultra sensitive with like material and like a lot of certain subject matter. Do you feel like, how do you operate with like tapping certain emotional?
Yeah, you just got to, I mean.
For you, I would say.
Well, for me, it's so, like I said before, you got to understand that Christian Cage says things that Jay Riso would never say. You know what I mean? It's no different than what a character that you see in the movies or anything like that. Like it's, but you have to commit. That's the thing. If you go out there and kind of half-heartedly or half believe the things that you're saying, if you don't believe it fully, then why would the audience believe it? You know what I mean? You have to commit.
It's a crazy time, man, especially in the world now with what you being able to say, what you can't say, what might offend people, what might not offend people, and also,
taken out of context.
I mean, anything, man, and especially at the time we all were coming up, we didn't really have that. We were able to just kind of be free. You know, you still watched a little bit, but it was more people was kind of tongue-in-cheek. People knew what was acting, joking, wasn't. You know what I mean?
He came up with the MTV era, which wasn't really tongue-in-cheek. Some like the Al Greens.
Absolutely. It was very open. It was very open on what they were saying.
Al Green. I said Al Green. Tom Green.
Tom Green.
And like, right.
You know, like.
But y'all know what I was talking about.
I just went with it like, yeah, Al Green. Why not?
You know?
Al Green was doing some off the wall too. But
he got grits thrown on him by a woman.
Yeah, because he didn't walk that fine line, bro.
He didn't, man. Don't bring it home.
Check yourself. But, but like it was like the hard rock, radical, like kind of uncensored. The uncensored was the cool thing, so it was like kind of the mainstream. Being like as risque and like Beavis and Butthead type, like saying like Simpsons were saying some wild stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
And then it was also like Real World. They
were doing Real World, yeah, like stuff, it was just wild. VH1 was heavy.
Yeah,
you know the music videos doing like, you know, so you garner a lot of that and you kind of bring that era to like now.
Yeah,
in a sense, you kind of pulled that era like to be able to be like outspoken and say a lot of like.
Yeah, I also. Also, like, what I'll do, too, is and this has kind of been my thing with this, the last year, with this whole heel turn. My philosophy has been, like, just go out with a couple things that I know that I want to say. Like, maybe have a little beginning and, like, a closing line and maybe a couple buzzwords that I want to use somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. And just go out there and feel the crowd, then just say it. You know, just
you know the timing of when, like, okay, they're up or up. And now it's time to drop it, or they're
right. And if I'm doing an interview with Renee or with Tony, it's like, ask me two questions. Ask me this question, ask me that question, and then I'll just go off those questions, and I'll just whatever happens, I'll feel the crowd, and we'll just go from there and see what happens.
That's amazing.
So, that's kind of been the process lately, and I feel like it's been working pretty well.
I think the beautiful thing is like. There's not a lot of people doing it, because if it is, then it's kind of, that's where we get into desensitized.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's good for the, like, a lot of times the roster needs to save, like, hey, this is his moment, this is his way of this, like, kind of like, let you do that, boom, leave that to him, and let me find my own way of getting the reactions a different way. You know, there has to be peaks and valleys to the kind of thing too.
Like also the turtle, also the turtleneck, right?
It's the turtleneck. It's the damn turtleneck. It's the diehard villain turtleneck, bro.
Turtleneck, man.
It really is. And it was so pompous to do. Like the match with Jungle Boy with the turtleneck cut off sleeves. I'm like, that's even worse. Yeah. He took the jacket off, there's no sleeves to it. That's even worse. Now you're throwing dirt on him. It's like you're throwing dirt on the heat.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Like just to see like the not only attention to detail, but like the vision that you have to have, like the little things. Probably look in the mirror and be like, you know what? This works. You know what I mean? Just seeing like the little things that.
Yeah, well, actually, how that came was, I would say probably a half hour, 45 minutes before that match with Jack at the pay per view. I was, you know, getting my stuff on, getting ready to go out. And I had one of my normal, like, gimmick shirts, you know, whatever. So, like, with the sleeves cut off. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, and I had the combat pants to wear up because it was like a street fight type setting. So I'm like, I don't know. And then I look at the turtleneck and it just hit me. I'm like, what if I just cut the sleeves off of that shirt instead? And then I'm like, yep. I said, but I have to play it straight. Because if I don't play it straight, it becomes kind of funny. So I have to go out there and so that's what I did. I cut the sleeves off. And it was like literally for like 45 minutes before I went out there, that idea hit me.
What material is that?
It was a regular, like, it was a regular.
I'm like, if that was like suede or some silk, I'm like, there's no way you're sweating in this.
No, it's a regular shirt.
Okay.
Shirt material. What,
at this stage of your career, like you've done so much, and in a lot of people's eyes, you know, you've done everything, and other people's eyes. But of course, for you, you're a goal-oriented person. What future goals do you have for yourself? Like, what do you see for yourself now to say, okay, I still want to accomplish this, I still want to accomplish that. Even with all that you've accomplished, what do you want to accomplish now?
Yeah, so your goals? So like me coming back from being retired was, you know, it's huge. It's like a gift to get my career back and actually be able to close this chapter on my own instead of having it being told it's done.
It's done, you know. Right.
So for me, I just want to do quality work. You know, whether it's promos or whether it's in the ring, I'm not too concerned about, you know. I'm very confident and I'm okay and I'm content with who I am as a performer, where I've been and where I'm going. So I think wherever I am on the show, I just do my best to make that segment entertaining and great. And I try not to worry about too much more after that. I just want to do quality work. That's, you know, I'm also working on, you know, as far as future goes, what's coming back was, during the pandemic. So everything I had been working on the side, it kind of dried up and went away. So I needed something goal-oriented, people, something to work towards. So I was like, well, maybe I should try to come back. So I built a little gym, just piecemealed together a little gym in my garage and just started working out there. And, you know, from that, it just kind of snowballed and became more of a reality. And you know, it just, you know, from that, I learned a lot about diet and like exercising with like minimal equipment and things like that. So from that, I was introduced to some really good business friends when I got back into the business, and we came up with this concept for an exercise piece of equipment. And so we'll be announcing that in the next couple months. So it started an exercise company. Yeah.
There
so
we go.
So
we got, amazing,
so,
bro.
Yeah. So it's,
congratulations, man.
So it's really looking forward to that coming out and actually helping. So having a piece of equipment that actually works and will help people. So I'm looking forward to announcing that. So
amen, man.
Yeah.
So I love it, man. Man, I know, big hockey fan.
Yeah.
He was at the Knights game.
Yeah. So
playoffs.
I was. Vegas. So yeah, we had the I got to ring the siren before the game. When they were playing Dallas in the previous round, so that was fun. Great atmosphere out there for a game, but right over here too in Tampa. I go to a lot of the games over here, man.
Oh, what
a, this is a hockey town, man. This is a hockey town. It's a great place to watch a hockey game.
Like, this is my first time getting this close to the building, actually.
Yeah.
Actually really seeing, because I come to St. Pete a lot
yeah.
to record, but, like, coming over here, and like I was like, oh, this is a beautiful area.
Yeah, it's
awesome.
It's a really cool city.
So like, man, like I know like you and Adam were just at one of the games.
Yeah. He came and stayed at my place, and we actually went to a game. Then he went, and then he came back a few days later and brought his daughter, and we took our daughters to the game, which is pretty special too. Yeah.
Man, I need to go to a game.
You know your brothers when you could do that. Yeah. He was like, oh, let me come to your house, dog. Let me sleep on the couch.
Yeah.
Let me just watch the dad. Let me just watch some TV and eat out your fridge. That's amazing, bro.
Yeah. Shoot, I'm going to join y'all. I'm going to be at the games with y'all and be like, okay, what does that mean?
I'll tell you, if you go to a hockey game,
yeah,
it is the best sport to watch live.
Man. I always hear that.
Yeah, it's so much fun, man. So much fun.
Goes to Rangers games in New York.
Yeah.
And when they were in the playoffs and he was just recording and putting on his IG
I'm
going
to take you to a game next year.
Okay.
I'm going to take you to a game next year.
I'm down. Yeah. I'm down. And it's just like everybody's waving stuff. It's just rowdy. I'm like, oh, this is live. This feels like 90s wrestling on television again. Yeah,
it's
bro.
A good time.
It
man.
Looks so good.
It's a good time.
And so, any cinema, any movies, things that you've been like watching, you've been picking up on and like peeking at? Because I just went and seen the Spider-Man.
Yeah.
We just went and seen Spider-Man Across the Universe.
Yeah.
Great movie.
It's magnificent.
Had my attention.
It's like, well, you can't lose attention because there's
really
so
can.
Much art. It's like overwhelming amount of art
and
visual effects that it's just like you remember how much of a leap like animation made back in like 2000 with like you had the Bugs Life and like Toy Story. Like this is like 10 leaps forward in like the 2020s. I'm like, I didn't know this was possible.
Yeah.
Like the type of like art and technology that they're just splicing in all these colors. And still keeping a very great story too.
Yeah,
it's brilliant stuff. So
yeah. Like, no, I guess not. I haven't watched so many series, and I haven't been to the movies. I actually haven't been to the movie theater since the pandemic.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I've watched movies and stuff at home, but I haven't been to a movie theater. And but I've been like, I've been binge watching a lot of these episodes on like Netflix and stuff. Yeah. You know, so I've been watching the. I'm almost, don't judge me, guys. I've been watching The Ultimatum lately.
Which one's The Ultimatum again?
So where you come with somebody and then you kind of have a trial marriage with somebody.
Really?
And then you come back to your original person, then you have a trial marriage with them. And then before you leave, you either have to, you leave with one, the other, or alone. So it's kind of like,
oh my god! Yeah.
This is a Netflix exclusive.
It's on Netflix, yeah.
You know, I'm watching.
Yeah.
I'm watching. You got me, dog.
And I just watched the McGregor. I've been big on those, like the documentaries that have like.
Oh, I heard Connors was really.
Yeah,
good.
It was good. Yeah,
I heard
McGregor
it was like
forever.
Amazing.
Watch that.
You know what I'd like to do on flights? I like to peek at what other people watching.
Yeah.
So I'll be seeing the Connor one. I've seen like that like on a couple people's different screens. I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to watch this because I see it like 5-6 times without hearing anything about it.
Yeah, there's also another one that's called The Secret Life of Pets that I've been watching. That's kind of interesting.
You like those?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, it was like just like the mannerisms of animals. Like they'd pick a different one for each episode and they
I've been watching on YouTube. I got to shout him out. This man's called The Outdoor Boys. And this man's from the military and he's a survivalist. So he will take the bare minimum, even below snow weather, and he'll dig up snow and make a house out of it to camp in for the night. And he'll literally just have sticks. He'll go hunt squirrel, and he'll just have the bare minimum and survive for like 2 days. And it is some of the most amazing stuff to watch for me. Like I'm like,
y'all like the reality TV stuff. Yeah.
I'd rather go glamping.
Oh,
yeah.
I went canoeing for the first time, actually, not too long ago, a couple weeks ago. And I'll let y'all know right now, I'm not a water guy. I don't do really well.
Yeah, me neither, bro.
Like, I've been dating this girl. We went jet skiing for the first time. She's like, yo, so fast you can do it. I'm like, I'm not like, especially going fast in the water. I'm like, now we're really pushing my boundaries. Like, we're going, and it's like, in the boat, and like, people, like, watching a jet ski, you think it's like, real secure. No, you're constantly like this. You if you lean too far this way, you tip over. I'm like, I don't like this at all. Yeah. And we're like going far out in the water, so I can't see the bottom.
Yeah.
And then like we fell over. I'm like, take me back, take me back. Like we still got 40 minutes left. I don't like it.
I'm done.
I'm not a water guy. But canoeing, this is more my speed.
Yeah.
I can see the bottom. I can go the pace I want to go.
Yeah.
The trees are still, land's right there. Yeah. I can touch the grass, yeah. You know. Yo, but it was really relaxing. Bro,
yeah. I swear, before the end of the year ended, my homie took me fishing, and I haven't been fishing in a long time. And I swear to God that I'm not having as many deep life thoughts than sitting there 5 o'clock in the morning with a fishing rod, and you have to be
yeah,
quiet.
Yeah.
Or I'm sitting next to this man, and we're literally just like staring in this picture. Make sure you talk very low, because it's gonna scare the fish. And I'm thinking about my life, things I did at 19. I wish I didn't do. And I'm like I didn't catch anything. We sat there from 5 to 9, and he caught 2 fish, and he's over there reeling. And he's like, "Oh, just be patient. I'm just gonna reel it back in, put another shrimp on the line." I'm like, "What?" And I'm just, dude, I swear, but I swear,
yeah,
I've never had much mental clarity in my life than sitting there.
That's funny.
Thinking. I just know I'm like, I don't crave that adrenaline and like the roller coasters. And
right.
We gotta go fast. I'm like, nah. I don't enjoy that anymore. I'm getting
the slower
age.
Pace.
I want to slow it down now. Yeah. I'm like, let's
enjoy
talk.
The ride. Yeah.
Yeah. Like even simple stuff, like, "Hey, let's walk to get breakfast." I'm like, yeah.
Could you take one of those little scooters that's on the street?
Yeah. I worked really hard for the car I have parked outside. Yeah. Let's just drive. Maybe let Uber. Let's just get some. Come on, man. Like, there's a lot of things I appreciate now.
Yeah,
really don't take it for granted anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the stage I'm at. We're getting old. We're fathers.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
I let my kids do all that. My son playing soccer. I'm watching him. He's doing everything. He'll be a pro. And I'm like, I'm just sitting here watching, like, man, to have that energy again, bro.
Yeah.
Like, just he's in the hot sun. It gotta be 93 out.
Yeah.
And he
didn't
faze
him, didn't care.
Just going, bro. I'm like, man, I wish them days was good old days, brother.
What is your proud papa moments at this point?
Yeah, just so my daughter just finished her school year. And we just got a really good report from her teachers.
Yeah.
And her one teacher said she's going to be a tough one to let go because she's a special kid, and she's like, she's got her own thing going on, and she owns it, and they sent us a very very nice set. So that's kind of my latest proud papa's her report that she got from school this year. Yeah.
Amen, brother.
Yeah. My youngest, 11 years old, she's about to have her first dance recital.
So that's cute.
Yeah, I'm working. Looking at my schedule, I'm like, I'm making this.
Yeah.
Because my oldest one's 13, about to be 14 this year. She's been playing basketball since like 5, 6 years old. So I've made a lot of her games and tournaments, weekends, and driving around, getting this school to that school to that school. Like, so my youngest finally has something, an activity to go to. I'm like, I got to make hers. I got to make her first one.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm working really like tooth and nail for next weekend to try to make.
Yeah. And she told me, so I brought her to a couple of shows.
Yeah. Beautiful child.
Thank you. Yeah. And she's full of life, right? So she's in the ring and she's kind of hitting the ropes and stuff like that. So she told me, and she's like obsessed with lizards. Like the little, like she loves like no fear of snakes, lizards, picks them up. Oh. No fear at all. So she told me, she's like, "Dad, when I grow up, I'm going to be a herpetologist," which is study of reptiles, lizards, things like that. She goes, "I'm going to be a herpetologist, a barista, and a pro wrestler." She goes, "Those are good jobs, right?" I was like, "If they all make you happy, they're great jobs. It's all as long as they make you happy."
Hey,
so, I'm like, "Hey, I told them, like when they were younger, I used to tell them like, yo, you can't say any words unless you can spell them. Spell herpetologist right now.
Yeah.
You can't be whatever you can. If you can't spell it, don't be it."
Yeah,
I'll tell my son, "Hey, man, whatever you want to do that's gonna retire me early, go ahead, brother. Just stay out of trouble and just anything to retire me early, though. Stay out of trouble. And the law ain't knocking on the door. Do it, brother. Go ahead.
Yeah,
man. You know?
Just don't stay in the family name. You do whatever. Just don't stay in the family. My father was adopted, so it kind of starts with my dad and then me. We're starting it with a good slate right now. The Strickland name is doing pretty well. Do not stain it. We don't go back 35 years.
Brother,
we don't got that.
I'm telling you, that one cousin you see, don't be nothing like him.
No,
bro.
No, don't. Please. We don't talk to Johnny no more. Man, it's been an awesome time, bro.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
We're going to have an awesome, honestly one of my favorite episodes we've done, man.
I appreciate
it,
man.
That's one of my favorite people
Done
it with. Like, genuine person, like a coworker, a mentor, just all that, man. Like, you are truly, truly, truly valued in the wrestling world for generations past, present, and future. And it's an honor to be sitting in your presence along with us on the channel, youtube.com, Swerve City. So I said it backwards. YouTube.com/Swerve City Podcast. We doing the big things over here.
I love our brother.
Christian Page, man. Thank you very much. You guys something to say to everybody?
I appreciate you guys having me. Feelings mutual. I think this guy's ultra talented. And, you know, been, the match you just had with Orange was unbelievable. So you guys you know, doing some really good stuff. The heel work's been unbelievable. And more than that, you're just a good dude.
I appreciate that, man.
I enjoy talking to you. So thanks for having me, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Be confident in everything you do.
Wash your ass.
And do your homework. We out. This is a really lovely place.
And the ice. I love the ice.
This is really lovely.
I was a little bit of a question for the ice bucket drop. I'm like, it's a nice place.